Morning. Let's turn to Psalm 34. We'll read from 15 to 18. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all the troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, God, and we come before you to pray and to worship, to hear your word, God. And as we go into your word, may you speak straight to our hearts, convict us, Father, and continually turn us towards you, Lord. We thank you. We love you. In your son's most precious name we pray. Amen. All right. So I have a simple one for us this morning. So let's see how long this is going to take. So I keep turning to the Psalms because it's always very simple, but yet profound at the same time. And the more I meditate on it, the more that keeps coming out. And so that's what I'm doing on Psalms today. Psalm 34, if you read the whole thing, the whole entire theme of the psalm is this idea of turning to God. And throughout the psalm, David is exhorting his reader, and as well as himself, to continue to turn to him, to look to God, to find refuge in God, to magnify his name, to seek out the Lord. And it's this idea of when we seek out God, or when David seeks out God, that God answers, God shows up, God delivers. And I want to particularly focus on 15 to 18, or the reason why I chose it is, it talks about crying out, and for me, when I was reading that, I was like, you know, how often do I cry out? As Christians, how often do we cry out to God? And we always say that we cry out to God. You know, when on Sunday service, you know, after we finish worship, one of the pastors comes up and one of the staff comes up, and like, you know, guys, let's cry out to God. Let's pray and call out his name and all this and that. And, you know, we're in the pews. Some of us might be sitting. Some of us, most of us are standing. And we're standing there. And we're like, yes, God, I cry out to you. And I'm like, it's so quiet. How is that crying out? And it's not to make fun of people for not crying out, but that really speaks to our heart. You know, if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, don't judge me. I'm like, hey, if you're getting upset at what I'm saying, you know, it's not me. It's God that's speaking. It says very clear, cry out to God. And there's so many other passages in the Bible that tells us, it doesn't command us, but like it tells us, cry out to God. Bring to him your requests and really lay yourself out before him. And so I was thinking, like, when is the last time I was crying out in pain and in anguish and in like troubledness of the heart? And there's a few times, but it always seems to be the same thing. I always argue with Cora, and then I go take a shower, and in the shower I'm like, oh, why? I remember there's a few times where I was just so fed up, not with her, even though I might have been at the time, but I was just so fed up with having to go through the same kind of argument over and over again. You know, it didn't have anything to do with what she did, what the situation was, but it was more so frustration at myself for having to, seemingly not learning my lesson, basically. And that's why we get into these arguments, because for whatever reason, I get prideful, or like, I'm like, you're not apologizing to me. And I mean, that's not the point of what I'm trying to say today. But I realized something in me needed to change, that I needed to, whatever I did, it wasn't working. And I kept encountering the same situation and circumstance over and over again, just in different forms, different shapes. But I knew that I couldn't change myself. And so one day I just found myself in the shower and was like, God, you really have to change me. I don't want to be living like this anymore, because it sucks. Right? Marriage sucks. I want to get out of here. Not really, but I needed to change my life, and I knew I couldn't. So I had to cry out to God. And actually, this happened quite a few times where I'm like, God, you have to do it. Like, I don't want to live like this anymore. And you know, that's what I think about when I read passages like this when I say, I cry out to God. Right? A lot of times I feel like, especially, I mean, I speak from experience, is that we don't cry out because we minimize a state of our helplessness or we minimize a state of our pain, or like, ah, it's not that bad. And I can think of, you know, I thought of two reasons why we do that. You know, one is our culture, especially for guys, tells us to suck it up. Right? Hey, suck it up. I know it sucks, but you know, you just got to do it. And it's sometimes that's a good motivation. Like, hey, just do it. Stop feeling so sorry for yourself. Right? But I think there are other times where we minimize the pain because we don't want to deal with it, or we feel like, you know, we don't want to be a crybaby, or we feel like, you know, God isn't really there, or I know he's there, but you know, he doesn't want to involve himself in such little minuscule things such as my little pain, right? But the fact is, our pain is significant to God, that our brokenness and the things that we go through are significant to him, no matter how small we think they are. I think another reason why we minimize our pain and helplessness or how we feel is that it's partly, or it has to do with pride as well. Because we think that we can handle it. We think that we being so accomplished, and I've spoken about this before, we being so accomplished and sophisticated and developed and educated that we can think our way out of our pain, or we can, you know, do something, we can overcome. And you know, I asked myself this question. You know, since beginning of 2017, we've been going over the Sermon on the Mount, right? We're almost done. And every Sunday that we've been preaching a Sermon on the Mount, PSAM has opened up the altar. And I asked myself, how many times have I come up after, like, at the end of service to just go before the altar and to cry out to God, to pray before him? And I'm like, I don't know, 5 times? 10 max. I even might be lying if I said 10. But as I thought about that, I'm like, man, I'm not really crying out to God. You know? I'm not really laying myself out before him. Maybe I'm listening to the message. I'm like, oh, that sounds good intellectually. I'm like, let me apply it intellectually into my life. And I'm like, I don't think I really need to go up there. And sometimes, you know, I don't think I really need to. Maybe God is trying to show me something even in that statement, but there are times where I realize that I do need to, but I'm just too prideful to go up because I'm like, and I can handle it, right? And whatever the reason is, crying out to God is something that we don't do nearly enough. And I think that's not a problem per se, but a little diagnostic on our heart. It shows us where our heart is at. This passage, 15 to 18, teaches us to cry out, not just for the sake of crying out, not just for the sake of feeling emotions. You know, for those who grew up in church and have gone to like youth retreats and college retreats, and you know, we know that the last night or the first night or whatever night is, you see people crying out, and you're like, oh, I want to have that feeling too. It's not just for the sake of, you know, feeling that high or feeling that, whatever makes you cry. We cry out, or this passage teaches us to cry out because of what happens, of the results. And the result may be different than what we think. And let me explain myself. So the obvious answer is that when we cry out, God saves us. I mean, that's what the passage teaches. Entire Psalm 34. When we turn to the Lord, he will save. He will deliver. He will save those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord hears them, delivers them out of all the trouble. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in the Lord. God saves. But, and this is, you know, this is what I was thinking, kind of how I was processing, is when we cry out to God, in that process of crying out, we are not made righteous, but we are shown to be righteous. Because crying out really shows a condition of our hearts, right? So you think about how a person is made righteous in the sight of the Lord. Okay. We know that we are made righteous not by works, but by faith. Okay. And our faith that makes us righteous is really an appeal to God for him to make us righteous. Because there's nothing that we can do. The only thing we can do to be righteous is to cry out to him. You know, this is the story of the gospel. This is how we get saved. The only way we are made righteous, the only way we are saved, the only way we have salvation is because we appeal to him to make us righteous. There's nothing that we can do, nothing that we can pay, nothing, no work, but really is an appeal of our heart, crying out to him, saying, God, there's nothing that I can do. I need you to save me. And it seems to me that David understood this very well. The righteous are righteous because of the humility of heart and crying out to God for salvation and deliverance. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Verse 18, God saves those who are crushed in spirit, those who cry out. When we're crushed in spirit, we're really not that proud. We're just like, we realize the depth of our situation, whether it be, you know, when we're in sin and we realize, oh man, this sin is really, really bad. I'm a horrible person. You know, at that time, I was actually crying out to God and I was like, Lord, you really need to do something because not only am I hurting myself, but I'm really hurting Cora. The things that I'm doing, the things that I'm saying to her is really detrimental to her, to our marriage, to our son, to our family. Like, my spirit was crushed. I'm like, oh, dang, like, I'm a horrible person. I'm a jerk. And there's nothing that I can do about it because this is really who I am. Everything else is kind of like, you know, I'm pretending to be someone else, but when the stress really came to it, or when it came down to it, I'm like, this is who I really was on the inside. And Lord, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be this person. I really need you to change me. God, I cry out to you. He crushed in spirit those who cry out. And if you turn to Psalm 51, I should have bookmarked this. All right, Psalm 51. Starting in 16. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Let's jump down to 19. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices and burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Okay. We know this passage really well. God does not consider us righteous because of our sacrifices. It's not anything that we do, not anything that we can bring before him that will make us righteous. You know, we made that point already. It is because of our hearts and the realization that we need him so badly. That's what makes us righteous, because we cry out to him. God will then deem our sacrifices righteous because we have been made righteous when we cry out to him. So it's kind of like, imagine this process. We realize that we need him. We cry out to him. He makes us righteous, right? So then what we do is then considered righteous. That's why then he'll accept our sacrifices. See, it's not to say that, you know, God doesn't save those who, you know, won't physically cry out. Because I remember when I accepted Christ, when I was, I think I was 10. I have to recalculate the years. It was around that time. And I was just sitting in the hallway at home. I'm like, I think I want to be Christian. Not that I completely understood everything. But I'm like, okay, God, you know, I accept you into my heart. I'm sorry for my sins, I think. Right? But that whole process was like just very calm. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of us have gone through this when we, you know, some of us might have like received this divine revelation from God that we are sinners and we're like, oh, God, save me. You know, we might have gone through that. Or some of us just have a very, you know, peaceful experience. We're just uneventful, I would say. Like, okay, God, you know, yeah, I want to follow you. You know, I repent and please take over my life. And it's not to say that God doesn't save in those situations, right? But going back to this idea of crying out, if we don't cry out, if we don't really lay ourselves out before him, what does that say about our willingness to accept help or to admit that we need help? You know, if we're not crushed in spirit, we don't realize that we're really, really bad, you know, then we're like, yeah, I guess God could save me. If we're not crushed in spirit, and if we're not at the end of our rope, if we don't have any other options left, we still think that we can do it. And for me, I keep going back to the illustration, I really had no other way to do it. I'm like, do I need to get brainwashed or something? There's no way I can change the way that I think. This is who I am. How am I going to change this? Everything that I do is just behavioral modification. I can't change who I am on the inside except God. See, we still think that we can make our own way and our own salvation. And what I wanted to, you know, this might seem really depressing, but there is encouragement in this, is that God does save. As Cindy comes up to lead us in worship, as we reflect today, you know, reflect on that truth that God does save. You know, as much as I encourage you to cry out, you know, the reason I encourage you to cry out is because of what lies at the end of that road. Psalm 34 is very clear in what God will do. His eyes are toward the righteous. His ears are open to your cry. When you cry out to God, He is listening. When you lay out your heart before Him, when you tell Him, God, I'm desperate. There's no other option, no other way, nothing else that I can do. And when you appeal to Him, He will be there. Because that is his promise to you. Have faith in God that He will do what He said He will. His promises are true. Romans 4 tells us that Abraham was credited as righteous because of his unwavering faith in the promises of God. God promised him that he would be a great nation. God promised him that he would have a son. And he was credited as righteous. He was counted as righteous because Abraham's like, yes, Lord, I believe. Now, I'm sure Abraham had cried out many, many times to God, Lord, when is his son coming? You promised me. And yet, Abraham remained faithful. He trusted in God. That what God said he would do for him, that he would. And so for us today, if there's any, any situation that you're facing that is tough or even if you can't think of anything, just go before Him and cry out to Him, right? And ask Him, show me God. Show me areas of my life where I'm still holding on and where I need to cry out and lay before You and let You in. Thank you. Father, we just come before you, God, and we cry out, Lord. May our hearts cry out, God. Cry out, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me, God, for I am broken. I am just unable to fix myself. I'm unable to fix my life, God. And we need you, God. I need you to come and just deliver me. Lord, hear our cries, Lord. And may this be our prayer today, God, that each and every single day, Lord, that we cry out before you, Father. That we come to you, God, and we present ourselves, God, that we need you, Lord. That our will, our strength is not enough, God. That we need you. And when we do that, Father, may you show us just how amazing you are. God, we want to see you. We want to see you at work, God, in our lives, in our friends' lives, Lord. And we know that you will do this, for this is what you have promised us, God. And to that we cling to, God. We cling to that promise. So we thank you, God. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's also pray for those friends, family that are sick and yet have to receive Christ. Pray for those in our community with other infirmities. Let's also pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Pray for God to open up doors and for the right opportunities to come to them. turn into your mission focus. Let's pray for SPSG, SPIN, led by P. Salamat, and SPNY. Let's pray for our education department, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU, the college students. Just pray for God's presence and God's presence to be in their lives, and for that they'll have opportunities to encounter Him every single day. Let's pray for IP, well, and the river. Just pray that as people come to the well and the river to see, as they come and seek healing, that they'll find God and encounter healing that way. Let's pray for SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for Alpha. Let's pray for protection over this whole entire program. Let's also pray for the availability of the guests and for the Holy Spirit to move powerfully through these sessions. Let's pray for house churches tonight, East Bay, Olympic, and Robin Hood. And lastly, let's pray for our upcoming events, our parenting seminar, as well as our annual retreat. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you so much for your salvation, God, and your promises, and how you constantly tell us in your word that you are there. Lord, make that reality such a real thing to us, God, that we can cry out to you, Lord, and that we can trust you, Lord, and that no problem is ever too small for you to be concerned with, God. Lord, we know you are faithful, God, and we trust in you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you for your love for us, and we love you, God. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.